God has all the things in His Word that He has there. They're promises to us that we might find hope and help in the midst of them. I'm thankful for the songs that have been sung tonight. My Emmanuel, amen. Isn't it good to know that He's always with us? Isn't it good to know that we're never alone, we're never forsaken? Jesus, He's the good shepherd. He says He don't forsake His sheep, amen. He knows where they're at and He's right there with them. He knows what they're going through. Every tear that is shed, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 56 and 8, he says, Thou tellest my wanderings, put down my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? Do you realize that every burden you have, every tear that you shed is important to God? It's so important that it's recorded in His book. There's not a tear that you have ever shed for a loved one, not a tear that you've ever shed in sorrow, never a tear that you've shed in a broken heart that God isn't aware of, and He hasn't made a record of it and kept it. I just go back and the book of records, and we look and read through the book of Esther, and you read how the book of records were brought out, and how the king would read through them. I believe God don't forget. God don't need to, but I believe God can go back through His book of records and can tell every time one of His children have been in a place where the tears have been shed, and He knows the reason for it. Nothing in our life has missed Him. Nothing in our life is catching Him off guard. Tonight in Psalm 37, in verse number 5, the psalmist tells us something. We've been honoring our senior saints this weekend. Yesterday, we took a little cruise up to Susquehanna, and it was raining. We had a good time. We did. We had a good time. There's a bunch of us, and we was dry, high and dry, and it wasn't a clear sunny day, but you know what? God didn't make every day a bright, clear, sunny day. But He blesses every day. Yeah, I got folks that are running around saying, man, I wish it would quit raining. I wish it would quit raining. I said, I quit saying that years ago. Because the same God that gives us the rain, and He knows we need the rain. We don't realize it. You know, last year, even with all the rain we had last year, they said our water table, our reservoirs were still way below what they needed. See, God knows what we need. And He sends what we need, and then we complain. Don't that sound like the children of Israel? Don't that sound like them? Oh, man, we're tired of eating this manna. We're tired of eating the same old thing every day. Wish we had some flesh to eat. Wish we had. And then He gave them meat, and they ate meat until they were sick of eating meat. Never happy. It's hot, and we complain. I wish it would cool down. And then here in another month or so, everybody's going to be saying, I wish it would warm back up. Never satisfied. I quit complaining about it. I just said, well, the Lord knows what we need, and He's just giving us what we need because we need it. Amen. I may be not getting the things done that I want to do, but the Lord knows maybe I needed to do something else. And I got enough something else's to do. Amen. We all do. Amen. God knows what we need. And I'm glad of that. And as we went up that river yesterday, God knew the day that we was going to have. And man, we had a great time. Had a blessed time. Even some of the young ones that went with us. Man, we got three new boat captains in the church. You all know that? They got their captain's license yesterday. They got their captain's cards for summer breeze. And, we just had a great time. Come back, and young man we had met and had just invited down, Ian Carroll. It wasn't Christian music. He does folk music and stuff. We don't, every place we go and take our seniors in isn't Christian places. There's not that many Christian places you can go. But he was just a good, honest individual that came and sung some songs, a one-man band. And I enjoyed him. I don't know if anybody else did. Most folks said they enjoyed it. And he sung for us for about an hour and then had a great meal together. Just had a good time. And it was raining. Pouring. When we left, it was pouring rain. But you know, that didn't stop us from enjoying what God had blessed us with. It rained all day today. We was at the homecoming up at Brother Chris's church, New Hope, and they had tents set up everywhere. They had a river of water running down alongside the church. You couldn't get into where you went without walking through. I thought Little Bit was going to drown. It was so deep. Amen. No way to get in there without you crossing over the water. But we had a good time anyway. Amen. You see, our attitude determines the outcome of the time we spend together. Amen. How we approach it and how we look at it. In Psalm 37 and 25, the psalmist said, I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You know what he's saying right there? He's saying, I've got a story that I can tell you. Our senior saints, you've got a story that needs to be told. You got a story that our young people need to hear of God's faithfulness and God's provision and God's meeting our every need according to his perfect will in our lives. We've got a story to tell. Amen. If you've got kids and you know Christ as your Savior, Joyce, you got a story to tell. Amen. You got a story that little Ruby needs to hear and she needs to understand and know this. We've got the story to tell, but yet we're so quiet. We're so reserved. We come into our church and we just go through the motions of worship and we don't let the story get told the way the story needs to be told. David had went through a lot of things in his life. You read some of the different psalms of David, and you can read the captions, and some of them tell you when they were written and why they were written. And many of them were written in the times when David was facing difficulties in his life. Some of them were written in the latter part of his life. Some of them were written when he was an older man, in his 60s, when his son Absalom tried to pull off the perfect coup and dethrone his father, and he sought to have his father killed so that he could take the throne. And David was pouring his heart out to God. But David could tell you one thing in his old age. He said, now I'm old. I've been young and now I'm old. He said, I've got a story to tell you. I've never seen God's people forsaken. You know what bothers me? I see these, they say they're churches. I don't know what they are. But you leave here on Sunday afternoon and you go to Northeast and they're at every red light, every part of the intersection in the red light, and they're supposedly from this church or that church somewhere, and they got the buckets and they got the vest and the signs on. We're from some Abundant Life church. It's a bunch of Pentecostal something or another, and they're out there wanting donations for their church. I have threatened to take this verse and have it printed out on dollar size pieces of strips of paper and just keep them with me and throw them in the bucket. Amen? I don't know about you, but we listened to some testimony this afternoon of what God has done for a church. A church that had no money, had nothing. And how every time they've needed something, God has provided, and not just provided in a little way. God has provided, as Brother Chris said, exceedingly and abundantly above all that we asked or thought. Amen. I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the things that God had provided. You wouldn't believe what God has done. God's that way. Amen. God's seed don't need to beg bread. God's seed just needs to trust God. Amen. And if God wants you to have it and God tells you to do it, don't you worry about the rest of it. Just trust God. Amen. We try to figure out, we figure we got to manipulate this and make it work. We don't have to, because God's seed doesn't have to worry about anything. God's going to supply their need. Friends, we got a story to tell, and it needs to be told, amen. And we need to make sure that those around us hear the story. If you read through the Psalms, you can hear David just speaking time and time again, and he's telling the story. He tells the story in Psalm 136, verses 1 to 26 of God's mercy. How many are familiar with Psalms 136? How many knows what the significance of Psalm 136 is? Every verse ends with these words, "For His mercy endureth forever." Every verse, all 26 verses, end the same way. It's David, it's the psalmist sharing God's mercies and God's blessings upon his life, and how he's seen God work in so many ways. I tell you what, time and again God has showed his mercy to me. Time and again God has bestowed things to me that I did not deserve and I was unworthy of, but yet he loved me enough to give them to me. In everything that he's done, his mercy's been evident, as the psalmist pins the words to Psalm 136 in verses 1 to 9. You can see in the midst of his creative process that God's mercy was already evident, because every verse says that even though he was in the process of creation, his mercy endured forever. You know, before the foundations of the world, God thought about me. Before the foundations of the world, God had done prepared a sacrifice to take my place. Before the foundations of the world, God knew that he would send his only begotten son into a world that would reject him, a world that would mock him, a world that would scorn him and hang him on an old rugged cross, just because he loved mankind. His mercy endures forever. As he records and recounts the multitudes of times that God had been with his people, as he brought them out of bondage, as he brought them to the battles and the wars that they faced with the enemies that were around them, those that would oppress them, his mercy was ever present. In verses 23 and 24, we see that in God's redemptive process, it was mercy that spurred him. It was mercy that motivated him. It was mercy that brought about the plan of salvation that we each are able to be partakers of. And in verses 25 and 26, the psalmist says, just because of his mercy, I have all that I need. My provision is met. You know, God doesn't owe us anything. We live in a society today that thinks that somebody owes you something. Amen. Nobody owes you anything. And that's what the psalmist was saying. He didn't owe it to me. But because of his mercy, he provides for everything that I need. My provision is met, just because God is a merciful God. We've got a story to tell. I can tell you in my life, God has never failed me, and God has been merciful to me. Amen. And we need to let our young people know that. We need to let our young people know that God is a merciful God, a loving God, and a caring God. And don't ever forget that. No matter how far you stray, just remember that his mercy endureth forever. He's a merciful God. It was good to see that young lady come to the altar this morning. Slipped her hand up, backslidden. Knew she was backslidden, knew there was sin in her life, and came to an altar because she knows that God's mercy endureth forever. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to tell about God's mercy. It's not only a story of God's merciful goodness and God's mercy and His plan for our salvation and everything that we need, but it's a story of God's unfailing faithfulness, His unfailing care. If you turn into Psalm 23, how many are familiar with the 23rd Psalm? Most everybody's heard that. But if you turn there and you read and you see what the psalmist is saying, God, He has been good, and God has been merciful, and God has provided for him in every aspect of his life. He's cared for him, and he's never had to do without. He said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen God's people forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Why is that? Because we got a caring God.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you this, I've not always had everything I've wanted, but I've had everything I've needed.
Amen.
In our 45 years of marriage, we've had some lean times, some real lean times, but our bills have always been paid. Our needs have always been met. God has never once let me down. God has never once failed me. He's always provided. And I've told you this before, I've actually had people come to me and say, when you say because we haven't been able to pay our bills that God doesn't love us and God hasn't been good to us and God wasn't this and God wasn't that. I said, no, I'm telling you what it is. You're talking about two different things. I can't help it. You was a bad steward of what God gave you. But I want you to know something. When God says He will supply all your needs, amen? Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. When God says He's going to supply all your needs, He will supply all your needs. If you take what He's given you for your needs and squander it on something else, that's not on God, that's on you. Don't blame God and don't accuse God for not falling or following through and fulfilling what He said He would do in His Word. That's what the psalmist is saying in Psalm 23. That's what David is trying to get us to grasp, is that God will meet our need. His unfailing care for us is something to be told about and something to be shared. He said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He watches over me faithfully and makes sure I have everything that I need. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God like that? Aren't you glad we can tell our kids that if you trust the Lord and depend upon the Lord, He's going to make sure that you have what you need. You shall not want. Amen. You'll have something to eat. It might not be what you want to eat, but you'll have something to eat. I think kids, I've never seen so many people with so many problems about eating. I mean, when I was growing up, there was no second choice. If it was on the table, you ate that, or you did without. Now, my wife, she grew up a spoiled brat. Yeah. They had a choice. And, you know, my kids were like, if they didn't want to eat what we had, they could have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something. Softy. I don't. That was one of those things we butted heads on. Eat what's on the table or go hungry. Amen. Let me tell you what, the next meal come around, you won't be so picky. Amen. That's why we got a bunch of kids today that won't eat nothing because they wasn't made to eat what was on the table. And now it comes around, I don't like this and I don't like that. I haven't always liked everything. You know, she fixes some things and she knows there's some things that I don't particularly care for. But if she fixes it, I eat it. Do I not? Amen. If she makes it, I eat. I'm not a fish fan, but if she makes fish, I eat it. Amen? It fills the void. Some things just plain ungodly. Amen. That's the accursed thing. I ain't touching that. Amen. But I will tell you this, I'm sure that if that's all I had, I would probably choke it down. And if that's all that we did have, I'd either went without or choked it down. Amen. But the psalmist said, my God, he cares about me. He's my shepherd. You know what the shepherd's job is? He watches over his flock. And he said, he provides for my needs. Look at this. He says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He gives me abundantly more than what I need. His supply is abundant. He takes me to the green pastures. When you're in green pastures, the sheep have an abundant supply. Amen. And then the still waters is a place of refreshing. Amen. You know, when you're thirsty, there's nothing like cool water. You can drink all the coffee. You can drink all the soda. You can drink all the tea. But when you're really, really, really thirsty, all you want is water. Amen. It refreshes. It restores you. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise God. He restoreth my soul. He saved me. Amen. My shepherd does what no other shepherd can do. He's the one who saved me. And he didn't save me and leave me out there in the wilderness by myself. He leads me. And he guides me. He directs me. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God that's that way? He doesn't just throw us out there and leave us on our own. He guides us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't have to fear death. I don't have to fear the results of death, the cause of death, the presence of death or anything about death. Why? Because death has no claim on me. The only thing death has claim on is this old tabernacle that I dwell in. Amen. This body is only temporal. This body is only a temporary house in which I live. And when we get to the place where we realize that and we come to terms with that, amen, and we realize that this is just going to go back to the dust from whence it came, and the soul that dwells within me, the spirit that is within me, is going to return to God who gave it, according to Ecclesiastes 12. Amen. And we come to that realization. It helps us to understand that when he saves us, he makes us his own. And when he takes us to the place, you know, not every place you go with the sheep, they want to go. Not every place you go with the sheep, They're comfortable. I got them pigs up there and go to loading them pigs. Pigs don't like having to step over something. If they got to step over it, they just soon not go. There can be food right there. But if they've got to step over a gap that big, they would just as soon sit outside and look in there. And get behind them and give them a little nudge and they go on in. Amen. But animals don't like to go some places. I'm kind of, you know, apprehensive about death. I'm not afraid to die. It's just the dying. Hey, man, I told y'all before, she wants us to go together. And most likely that's going to entail great pain, great suffering, a great tragedy some way, if God gives her wish. That we get to die together. I'm going to be like Brother Jimmy Rowland as he was coming. They was going somewhere to preach, and he was coming down the exit ramp or getting off exit ramp or something, wherever he was going. And here come an 18-wheeler down the road, down the exit ramp the wrong way, a barreling right down to his little old minivan. He said, the only thing I could do, he said, I just scrunched up and said, Lord, don't let it hurt. That's going to be me. But I don't fear death. Amen. Why? Because death has no claim on me. Amen. Death can't do anything to my spirit or my soul. All death is going to do is open the door that ushers me through Christ and to the place where he's prepared for me. Amen. Some said, I don't have to worry about those things. Young people, if you got your heart and your life right with Christ, it doesn't matter what comes your way. You don't have to worry about it. And you know what? The older you get, the more you start becoming more comfortable with the fact that death is coming to get you. Amen. Every day I look in the paper and I see people younger than I am that are dying. I see people my age that are dying. I look at people 15, 20 years older than I am. I think, that's not that much older. 15, 20 years right now to you as a young person is a lifetime, is an eternity. I look back now and talk about things that happened 30 and 40 years ago like they were just yesterday. Life is, it's flying by. And since I retired, it's flying faster, I think. Amen. But I don't have to fear death because I'm prepared for death. Because I'm not going through Death Valley by myself. My shepherd, my Lord, and my God is going to be there with me. And I don't have to fear death or what death can do. He said, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The enemy can't hinder God from pouring his blessings out upon me. Amen. Do you realize that? There's times when everybody counted me out, but God had counted me in. There was times when everybody had said he's done, but God said I'm not done with him yet. There was times when folks said, hey, it's over for him. That's the end. But God said, no, I'm not done yet. You all know the story about my leg. They said, well, it's coming out. The doctor, as I went into surgery, said we're going to finish the amputation right below the knee and blah, 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 blah. It's horrible. It's nasty. It's a mess. And I said, well, you're just going to do what you can do. I know. He said, well, I'm just an instrument. I said, man, things look right up immediately. Here's one of the most arrogant doctors you'll ever meet in your life. And he is very arrogant. Telling me that I'm just an instrument. I'm just an instrument. Amen. Man, things looked up right away. I come out of a surgery. The enemy can't hinder what God wants to do. Amen. Amen. The enemy can't change what God wants to bring about in your life. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. Aren't you glad that we serve a God and we can testify time and time and time again? I built that big house in Charlestown and people said, you'll never build that house. You'll never build that big old house without a mortgage. You're going to be mortgaged to the hilt. You're going to be mortgaged to this and you're going to be mortgaged to that. You know what? That house never had a mortgage on it. Amen. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. Amen. I'm bragging about what God is able to do. I'm bragging what God can bring about. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Amen. Time and again, when people have said, I can't, God said he could. When people said, he's not worthy, God said, I've chosen him. He's mine, and I'm going to do something with him, through him, and for him, and by him, that anyone who sees it, and anyone who knows it, and anyone that realizes it has to know that it happened because of my hand.
Amen.
Amen. I'm his, and I'm blessed. Amen. If you'll commit yourself to him, give yourself to him, and live for him, he never said it was going to be easy, but praise God, he said he would claim you.
Amen.
And he'll bless you. Amen. That's what the psalmist is, that's what the story of the psalmist is telling. Amen. I'm his, he's mine, and because of our relationship, I'm blessed. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's never failed me, and he never will. I've been young, and I've been old, and I've not seen God's people forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Amen. It's a story of God's mercy. It's a story of God's unfailing care. It's a story of where God brought me from and where he's taken me to. Amen. I was nothing. I deserved nothing. I was lower than low. The psalmist said there in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and that respecteth not the proud, nor such as I turn aside the lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which thou art to usward. They cannot be reckoned in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I was bound for hell, but I was saved by grace. Amen. I was lost, undone, and unsure of myself and anything in life. I had no trust, no one that I depended on, no one that I relied on. And God told me, you can depend on me. He set my feet on a rock. You know who the rock is? His name is Jesus. Amen. He established my coming and my going. Amen. You know, when I trusted him, and I found out that if I would trust him, you know what I found out? When I quit trusting him and I try to do things on my own, I mess up. Amen. Right. Amen. But when I trust him and I let him be the one that's in control, praise God, he blesses me. He establishes everything that he sets in front of me and sets for me. I was a nobody. He made me a somebody. I might not be anybody to you, but I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. I might not mean much to you, but my heavenly Father calls me his son, and I mean everything to him. Amen. It might not excite you much when I get to pray and get to talk to him, but I believe when one of God's children enter the throne room of the glory world, as we are privileged to do, and we call upon his name, he's waiting to hear us, and it excites him. You know, when one of the kids call, don't you get excited when one of your kids call? Whatever reason, when they call, you're excited to hear when your kids call. Amen. And trust me, they might be at home now driving you crazy, but when they're gone and they call, man, you want to hear what they got. You want to answer the call. You want to hear from your kids. Our God's the same way. He wants to hear from his people. He wants to hear from his children. I have a testimony that I want to share, a testimony. I like what the psalmist said there. Blessed is the man that makes the Lord his trust, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You know why? Because I don't run around all pooch mouth all the time. I don't run around, oh, poor old me. I'm just poor old Christian having a hard time getting along. Oh, it's so hard being a Christian. It's so hard living for the Lord. I've had to do this and I've had to give up that. You know, I haven't had to give up anything that wasn't worth giving up anyway. Amen. Psalmist said, he's done something in me. He's given me a testimony. Amen. I want to tell you, there's nothing in this world like serving Jesus. Amen. There's nothing in this world by realizing where you was, who you was, and what you was. And what you are in Christ. Stop and think about that for a minute. You as a hell-bound sinner, and Jesus saved you. Amen. Who you was, what you was. Stop and think about that for a minute. And think about where he's brought you to. I don't care if you're in a backslidden condition. I don't care if your heart and your life has just turned away from God and sin has taken a hold of your life. Think about where you was and where he's brought you from. And think about what he's promised that he could do. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. When we think about how many times have you had to go get cleaned up? Amen. Amen. How many times have you had to go back to your Heavenly Father and say, Lord, I messed it up again. We want to judge people. We want to look at people's lives and the dirt that they got. You know, you just don't always see everybody's dirt. John Ballou was up in the mountains here last week, and they were sealing the roof on their places up there. And he don't do the climbing. Liz actually does the climbing up on the roof. But he was mixing the tar up that they were sealing the roof up with. And he was sitting in a chair, and he had this 5-gallon bucket of sealer, and he had him a drill and a mixer that mixes it. And he's mixing this stuff, and he's mixing this stuff, and he's mixing this stuff. And he got to not paying attention to what he was doing, and he got the drill going too fast, and it just slopped all over him. Well, he took his pants off. It had went plumb through the pants. It looked like somebody was trying to tar and feather him. The whole insides, his whole legs and everything under his pants. He could have put another pair of pants on, and everybody would have thought everything was all right. But on the inside was all this blackness. On the inside was all this nastiness that was bothering him. You see, we can't look at people and know what's going on the inside, even though we think we're so smart that we can. But I'm glad the one that sees what's on the inside is the same one that knows how to clean it up, is the same one that knows how to take care of it, is the same one that knows how to make it all precious and pretty and clean again. Justified. Just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. You see, none of us deserve it, but God does it. And when we reflect on where he's brought us from and what he's done for us and how many times he's done it, man, I've been there many times. Lord, I need you to clean me up again. Lord, I need you to clean me up. Lord, there's sin in my life. And you know what? He's never not done what he said he would do in his word. Amen. He's never told me, no, it's too many times. Forget it, I'm not going to do it again. When Peter asked the Lord, how many times shall we forgive our brothers? 7 times, the Lord said 70 times 7. If the Lord was teaching Peter that concept, don't you think he was teaching it for a purpose? So that we could know that we have a Heavenly Father. That was in one thing. 70 times 7. In just one instance that you forgive. But God forgives us, and he says he moves our sins as far away as the east is from the west. Puts them in the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. He gives us a testimony that we can go back to, and we can tell these young people, I've messed up. We got a story to tell. A no good, dirty, filthy, stinking, rotten, low-down sinner that deserves to be in hell with my back broke. And God has saved me. And every time I failed him, he's been faithful to me in everything. He's faithful to forgive me. He's faithful to clean me up. He's faithful to take away the guilt and the condemnation that sin had brought. I want you to know that. Don't forget that. We got a story to tell, not only of his love for us, but of our love for him. Look what the psalmist said in Psalm 18. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, and whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I love thee, O Lord of my strength. I love thee. In Psalm 27 and 1, he said, I love thee and I trust in thee. In Psalm 25 and 11, he said, I love thee. You're the God of my repentance. You're the one who forgives. You're the one who I go to when I need forgiveness. In Psalm 119:34, the psalmist says, I love your word. I love everything about you. And I will obey and follow you in everything that I do. I love my Savior. I love my God. I love everything about Him. I love everything that He's done. There's nothing that I can say, there's nothing that I can tell you that's negative about the God that I serve. There's nothing that I can tell you that's negative about serving Him. I can tell you all the results of what worldliness has gotten me. I can tell you all the negative results of what rebellion has gotten me. I can tell you all the negative results of what trying to do it my way has got me. I've been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Folks, we have a story. It's the story of a God who's faithful. It's a story of a God who's loving and caring. It's a story of a God who restores that which is broken. You know, that's what this whole book's about. It's a story of restoration. Amen. From Genesis to Revelation, it's the story of restoration because it's a story of God's love and God's desire. Seniors, you got a story to tell. Moms and dads, you got a story to tell. Young people, you need to live your lives in such a way that even at the age you are right now, you've got a story to tell of what God has done for you. Because the righteous are never forsaken, and his seed does not have to beg bread. So stand to